finally, it's time for one of the craziest episodes of the show I have ever released. Joining me from all the way across the pond in England is Kane Brogham. Stay tuned, it's coming up right here on the World Soccer Report.
It is time for the Rowdies Rundown and World Soccer Report with Buster DeLay as we go over all of what's happening in the world of soccer. And here is your host, Buster DeLay.
And welcome to the World Soccer Report. Before the monumental interview I have in store for you today, I will of course begin with a brief Rowdies rundown. The Tampa Bay Rowdies defeated Loudoun United at Segra Field 4-1 after Leo Fernandez and Jake LaCava each scored again, adding to Steven Dos Santos' precise strike from a cutback and Sebastian Dalgard's bullet into the far corner. Substitute Deion Harris was yet again the difference maker as he tallied two assists to open the scoring. In terms of Rowdy's transfers, the Green and Gold of the Bay have traded a lone goalkeeper deal with the Flamingos of Ford Madison. Ryko Arozarena moves to the League One side and has been named Man of the Match in his first game in goal. In return, the Rowdies have received Philip Brino. The Rowdies have also signed the brother of Connor Antley, Ian Antley, to a very short deal. Here it is, the moment all listeners of the World Soccer Report have been waiting for. Joining me from England is former YouTube club hashtag United, well, further than YouTube club, they become a sensation, and current May and Baker fullback, Kane Brogham.
I'm here with Kane Brogham, defender number 2 for May Baker FC, all the way over in England. First of all, Kane, how you doing on this lovely afternoon for you, but morning for me?
I'm good, thank you. In sunny England today. It's not too bad today. So thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to it and sharing some experiences and the way that football or soccer, shall I say, works for me over in England. So yeah, looking forward to chatting with you today.
And this is my first over the phone interview. Certainly the first player that I've ever interviewed from Europe on the show. Take that to the groove. All right, so and the roles are kind of reversed because I'm looking outside and it is quite dark. And you say it's sunny over there?
Yeah, we're talking at the moment, yeah, let me just check my phone, we're talking a nice 30 degrees Celsius, so I'm not It's not bad. It's quite warm, quite hot, so we'll take that.
69 Fahrenheit here right now. I think the roles have been reversed.
Just for today.
It's
going to be raining tomorrow, I'm not going to lie, but yeah.
All right, so first of all, on this Lahir interview, we're going to start off with, since, of course, you are from England, you've had the majority of your playing career in England. We're just going to start off with your playing career in England. Could you describe that a little bit?
Yeah, cool. So, do you know what? I started playing football probably the latter stages of a young age here in England. I mean, a few of my friends, they all started playing football or getting into football from around age three or four years old, like that young, just by kicking a ball around. But me, I was sort of the latter stages. I sort of started playing football when I was around 8-9 years old, and to be honest, that's quite late over here. I was the late bloomer, and it just started really just finding a local club, finding a local side, and sort of just joining in training. And from training sessions, it would, you know, be asked to sign, and then participate and play in a competitive youth league. That sort of made me grow my love for football. And it was just something that I really sort of enjoyed. And I mean, from there, it just sort of went on and on. And the older you get, the harder the football gets, and the more ruthless it becomes. I moved around numerous clubs at a young age. And then sort of after youth level, I sort of decided I wanted to go and try and play senior football. So in England, you've got a number of clubs that participate in a senior setup by using the youth. It's sort of like an academy, sort of like a feeder. And I started playing playing that level of football from around under 14s. So 13, 14 years old, I was just sort of growing and developing, learning under high level coaches, and yeah, just sort of grew my knowledge and grew my playing confidence, my ability, just by learning from these coaches. And from there, under 14s to 15s, so on so forth, it got to, I believe, under 15s. So I'm one of the older sort of players in my age bracket. So I was currently 16 at the time, and I just started playing senior men's football. I was asked to join in by one of the coaches at a club called Thurrock. And it was just more so for me to learn the physical side of the game more. I mean, playing against grown men, and then there's little old me, you know, not weighing near as much as they are, or coming close to the weight that they are, getting pushed around, barged around. Yeah, it was a real wake-up call. But it made me learn, and I had to adapt very, very quickly to the speed, to the physicality. And yeah, it was a real eye-opener, but it was something that I just relished and enjoyed, and I just wanted a bit more of that. And from there, I did sign paperwork for the reserve side at Thurrock, and then from there, I just grew again, kept on improving my performances week in, week out. And yeah, as soon as I hit under 18s, it was, you know, on the verge of pushing for first team. Which unfortunately never came around, but playing reserve team football at that time was still senior football. And then from there, that was, I mean, do you know what? That the Thurrock Football Club was probably the only club that I'd stayed at for around, I'm talking 5-6 years. So I was there for quite a long time. It just made me feel very comfortable around the players that I was with. And yeah, I just sort of grew from there. And to be honest, Thurrock got me into men's football, senior football from there. So yeah, that's the youth side of things, if I'm honest.
And you said you started a little bit later. So what was the thing that kind of ultimately gave you that shove into wanting to play professionally one day? Was it a team, a player, or what?
I think, do you know what? The time at school, I think all my friends were sort of starting to play for teams and started getting into teams. And then there was me that wasn't playing. But I think what sort of started it even more was probably my uncle, who was taking me to West Ham United games on a weekend. And I think, again, when you go and watch these games, you just want to end up playing yourself and you want to get there. So as soon as I've, you know, been to a few games at West Ham, it was, I want to play football. I want to play professionally. So I need to find a team. I need to join. I need to start. And it's sort of the love of the game grew from there again. And that's I'd say that was the real push, as you say, to really get me playing. So yeah, I'd say that definitely my uncle and definitely my friends at school all playing for sides.
And past your boyhood club that you signed for in the U18s and everything, you went on to play for, it's a non-league team, but arguably one of the most famous teams in the world because of their YouTube channel, good old Spencer, getting hashtag United going. And they've been climbing the ranks, of course, you winning a title with them, and it went very, very well with hashtag for those couple of years. So how was it playing with hashtag when they were growing as a football club and also as a YouTube channel?
So for me, that whole hashtag segment, this was at a time I was at a club called Tilbury, and it was pre-season, and we just played hashtag in a pre-season friendly. And we'd sort of had a good workout against them. And then two days later, I got a phone call from my manager saying that he's got a friend at hashtag who's looking for fullbacks for the season. So being a young player and not being as experienced as a lot of other players at the club at the time, I thought it was the right move for me to sort of go out on loan from Tilbury to hashtag and get a full season under the belt at men's senior football in a real competitive tier of football. But I was very skeptical at the time. I knew of Hashtag, but I wasn't too sure about the whole camera situation. I think it's all safe to say that when you've got a camera shoved in your face at every moment,
it's pressure.
You're right. And the cameras were everywhere, and I'm talking everywhere. And I remember my first game going over, and I wasn't used to it, and it was such a surreal but weird feeling about just having cameras around, and anything you do is being recorded. Anything you do, you're seen to be as a role model type to a huge global fan base. So yeah, I mean, the first couple of weeks it was a bit scary, I'm not gonna lie, but once I grew and got in training and you know, got amongst the squad, got interviewed more on camera, you know, it just becomes sort of second nature. But that whole part of my career was probably the most exciting and most enjoyable few years of playing football. And I think with that club alone, what you get given is a huge amount of respect. And it's a real sort of tight-knit, family-run club as well. Everyone a part of that knows how the club works, knows everybody inside out. And I think everyone just wants the best for each other. And obviously, on top of that, you do get, you know, people that give you some hate and give you some, you know, give you some grief. But I think, in my opinion, that's jealousy, because that club alone, as I say, the things that you get given, the opportunities that come that way, is absolutely ridiculous. And it's a real sort of, I'm honoured by it, because it's, you know, you don't get it every day, and that's sort of the next sort of part that you're going to sort of feel like a professional footballer at a club like that, especially at non-league level. And it was, honestly, you felt like a professional player, but not being a professional player. I mean, I'm working a job and I'm playing football for Hashtag, and I'm walking around and I've got people coming up to me asking for pictures, asking for, you know, to sign this. And it was a strange feeling, because to myself, I'm just a normal non-league working player. But to thousands of people out there at that time, it was, oh my goodness, it's Kane Brogan. Like, can I have a picture? It was honestly surreal. So they're probably the best few years of my playing career here at the moment. So, yeah, and the league win alone, I just remember that there was one part of that season where we went, I think it was 13 games unbeaten. And in non-league terms, that's a very long time to go unbeaten. And I think those 13 games alone just helped us get across the line at the end and win a title. But yeah, that was an incredible couple of years playing for Hashtag.
And I tell you, with non-league and everything, obviously the tier of football in England is a little bit different from here in the US. There's definitely a fair number of tiers here, but it really gets defined more as like a youth level compared to professional here, whereas over there, non-league is still really, really competitive, with every team trying their hardest to go someday to the Premier League or the Championship,
yeah,
League One. And for example, Boreham Wood last season in the Cup, going, yeah, really far. So you get some challenging players, and sometimes you have players that are getting older coming down to non-league teams that played in higher levels. And then Hashtag, with 597,000 subscribers right now, gaining on 600K on YouTube, they're gonna attract some famous names here and there, or make famous names because of their YouTube channel. And then you get people that become famous, like from a certain Love Island, Toby Aromalaren.
yeah.
so you get some good experience from there, and then you get players that will get taken on to different shows and stuff. For example, like the Soccer AM, they have a Jamie Jackson, I know, plays in goal, yeah, a lot for them. So you get some fame going through there. And then another run you had in non-league football in England with May and Baker, who you currently play for. Could you tell me a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, so currently with May and Baker, down here in Essex. Yeah, it's a club that we played before when I played for Hashtag, and it was a side that were really, really, really solid throughout that season at Hashtag. And then there comes a time, obviously, where when one club finishes, another club comes around. And there was a time at Hashtag where I wasn't playing as regularly. And this was because there was older players, more experienced players that had been playing higher, who had come down, as you say. And obviously those sort of players are going to get put in over me. And I can accept that. That's something that I'm never going to argue about, because if you've got the experience and you're older than the younger players, then you should expect to play. So it was a tough call, because I didn't want to leave Hashtag. And the manager obviously didn't want me to leave, but he was doing it for my best interest in terms of playing football. So May and Baker was the next point of call. I went out on loan initially to them for a season, and then once I'd left Hashtag, it was sort of stay at May and Baker. And they're a real, again, a nice family run club, and it's real tight knit, and everyone's sort of, you know, we are like family. Although obviously we're two leagues below Hashtag at the moment, you know, we're not far off. And if it wasn't for COVID, the COVID season, we would definitely be around that league and be around that area. It's just a shame that COVID obviously come around at the time it did, especially when we was flying in one season, and it just. You know, caused absolute chaos, stopped the season, stopped the leagues, and he wasn't able to finish in a top four position, which would have guaranteed us to go up. So it was frustrating, but you know, I'm enjoying my football there. This is my third season there now at Man Baker. So you know, we've been in pre-season this year for well over a month. So I'm feeling very fit. I'm feeling very sharp. We've played three preseason games already. We've got another couple coming up this week on a Wednesday and Friday. So, you know, the turnaround is very quick, especially on top of training. You're training two nights a week on top of games midweek as well. And on a weekend, it's a lot of football to put in, especially on a full-time job as well. It's finding that balance, which a lot of players have to do. But once you find that balance, you find yourself, you know, back out the door as soon as you're in work, straight to football. You can't beat that feeling. But Man Baker, honestly, they're a great side. We've got a lot of young players this year who are very, very good. Very, very good. So I'm looking forward to the season starting at the end of the month, and hopefully this season, and in my opinion, trying to win that title again. If not, playoffs is definitely the target that we want to hit. So it should be another exciting and enjoyable season. 40 games to play, 40 odd games to play, shall I say? But it's a long season, and hopefully we get off to a good start. So, but yeah, that's Man Baker. They're a nice side that I'm really enjoying my time there with. So, definitely looking forward to starting the season.
And you mentioned balancing your daily life, training. Could you talk me through the mindset and mentality and the drive to get both of those things balanced? Because especially growing into the game, you probably find it somewhat difficult to figure out, like when you're younger, to figure out the balance between having a good daily life and working in really vigorous training to get where you want to be. So could you tell me a little bit about how you developed into that?
So for me, I mean, when I was at college studying in sport and science, you know, there was no sort of worry, because you'd finish college around, I mean, over here anyway, the course I took, it finished around 3:30 PM in the afternoon. So it allowed me to go home and sort of eat well. I'd be drinking and hydrating throughout the day anyway. I think that's key to playing elite level sport and a good standard of amateur level sport, is your diet and your mentality. Now, mentality is huge. I think this is something that's made me into the player that I am today. If I didn't have the mentality that I have today, I probably wouldn't be as playing this higher level of football that I would be. So mentality for me, I think you've got to be mentally tough. And I dare say this, I mean, we'll come on to this later regarding the opportunity I had in America, but the mentality you need over here, it needs to be strong. I mean, it is ruthless. And when you get knocked down, you've got to get back up. But you've got to get back up very quickly. If you dwell on negatives and you dwell on something bad that's happened for you not to play, you're not gonna be able to play football for a long time. And there was a spell in my career, and I think this, you know what, you're probably gonna be the first to probably hear this, and I've not really mentioned it for a long time, but it was a time where I stopped playing football, and I think it was for around 2 years, and I fell out of love with the game just because obviously I wasn't getting as many opportunities as I would hoped, and my mentality sort of just got low and just dropped. On one hand, I think I can count how many friends that are still playing football now. And do you know what? This is what I say about mentality. It needs to be strong, because friends that have been dropped out of the game because of mentality is not, if, because their mentality is not higher or it's not strong, then that's why they've stopped playing. If it wasn't for, I'd say, two key people, one is a professional footballer now still, and the other was a professional over here. I had a conversation with those about playing football, and they asked me, how's your season going, or are you training? I said, no, I've stopped. And they said, what do you mean you stopped? I said, look, I've just stopped playing. I fell out of love with the game because of this. And they sort of said to me, no, Kane, listen, bro, you've got to get back into playing. Like, you're a waste of a talent if you don't start playing again. And then we had a lengthy conversation about why I should get back in. And after them conversations, it just sort of sparked me. It just sort of sparked me to go on and start training again. And that was probably the most hardest part of getting back into playing, was the first step of getting back into shape. But then from there, that helped me just develop my mentality. And I'm the type of person now that if I don't get something that I want in terms of football, or don't hit a target that I should be hitting, then I'll make sure that I hit it over that period of time, over that week. And I set my bar so high now that if I don't reach that bar during training or games, then for me that I've failed a little bit. So I always make sure now that I set a bar every single week, whether it's training, whether it's games, and I'll make sure that bar's either been hit or exceeded. And then that's something I always look at. And I'm quite harsh on myself. Always go home and always, you know, think back to games, back to training. Could I have done that better? What did I do well in? What should I have done in that situation? And it always plays in my mind. But I think that's what makes me different to certain other people, in terms of wanting to just play football for a living. And I think you've got to have a strong mentality to do that. But yeah, I think balancing that and obviously work as well, you've got to find that balance. I mean, I'll try and finish and try and get out of work on time just so I can make training. I think I'm happy to say that I've found that balance. I know my timings, and I'll definitely make sure that I'm there at training on time, matches on time, and getting in recovery as well. Recovery is just as important as anything else. So it is tough, but that's the reason we play, and that's the reason, you know, we want to carry on. We want to stop working. We want to play football professionally. So if this is the balance we've got to find to do that, then, you know, us non-league players, we'll find that balance.
Yeah, and I always ask any player that I'm interviewing about their message to young kids that want to play the game, and for you, the mentality and everything, because I'm also trying to I'm trying to balance school. I want to go higher into a sort of varsity level, high school, maybe get into college playing as well. And then also have this little radio gig, of course, as something that I might go into as well, or if one thing doesn't work out, I go into another, or I could find ways to balance both because these are two things I enjoy doing. So it's really important getting messages from people like you that have gone through it on how to balance two things and make sure you can be the best you that you can be. And speaking
if there's something that the young players want to hear, then for me, it's one, enjoyment. You have to enjoy playing and training. I mean, if you don't enjoy it, then there's no point in playing. And I know we want to play at the highest levels, but enjoyment is a key factor, and also training. That them two alone will make sure that, you know, a player will work hard throughout their time at young ages. So definitely enjoyment, definitely training. Those two things together guarantee young players will thrive and improve and develop very, very quickly. And the older they get, they will have more opportunities than most by just doing those two things, the enjoyment factor of it and training, 100%.
All right. So, and then your dream, talking about now, to get over into the U.S. structure of football with the LA Galaxy trial. I know trying out for my hometown team, the Tampa Bay Rowdies, and some other organizations around the USA. Yeah. Was it your dream to, and still is, and I do believe you can do it. You're a very talented player, and I think any club in the USA should be just reaching out for you. The structures in the United States, with obviously the building up from the USL League One, the USL Championship, and the MLS. Could you tell me a little bit about the trials that you had here and your passion to go into the game here in the States?
Yeah, cool. So obviously, as America's always been a lifelong dream. And that goes back to my uncle again, who moved out to Richmond, Virginia. He initially went on holiday and then obviously fell in love with someone. And then that stemmed from there, got married, kids, and he then got a citizenship. So he's now lives in Richmond. And then there was a few years where I said to myself, do you know what? I want to go to America. I want to live a dream. I want to play football in America. And I could have, and I probably should have, gone down the scholarship route, the university route. But at that time, at that age, I was very sort of saying to myself, I don't want to study. But you know what? Let's give it a go. I'll go out and I'll email as many clubs as I can to get out and try and hopefully land a trial. Went out to Virginia, went over to Richmond Kickers in the USL, had a chat with the director there, and unfortunately couldn't get offered nothing. So I said to him, look, surely there's a few contacts you can give me, at least give me a chance to prove myself, you know, to someone. And I've got contact in Galaxy, LA Galaxy. So then that was just the whole dream in itself. Obviously, LA Galaxy, your high-flying MLS club. So that was a no-brainer. So I flew out to LA and trialed out at Galaxy. Honestly, the most unbelievable experience I've ever sort of had as a trial. The facility alone was just absolutely incredible compared to what we have here. And honestly, I fell in love with it straight away. And I played two games, and I was getting players come up to me at halftime saying, if you don't get offered nothing, or you don't get offered an extra, you know, couple of weeks, then they've missed out. And I felt really good at that point. And I felt good in myself because I knew I played well. It got to a few days later and it just wasn't to be. And if I could tell you how close I was, I mean, I think I was very, very close to being offered something. And it sort of just broke me down a little bit. But, you know, that just sort of urged my dream a little bit more to want to play out there. So I dare say that I will be back out. And I dare say that I will be trying to make it a dream in reality, which is to play in either the MLS, USL, even USL 1-2. There's clubs being created everywhere that I'm seeing. So I'm always keeping my eye on everything. And hopefully, fingers crossed, that I can come back out. You know, especially Tampa Bay as well. Again, places that I've been, definitely stick out for me. So I will be back, definitely be back. Let's hope this time, though, I can stay and grow from there. So.
And unfortunately, the Zoom meeting cuts off in just about a minute and 30 seconds. I would love to talk longer. Definitely, we could do it again someday, maybe.
Definitely, I'm more and, on that. That's fine.
And chat about maybe more of just like the general scheme of the game, like a little West Ham Europa League run last season, almost winning, and then almost winning the league for Liverpool against City. So
that's fun.
Almost had Fabianski to thank. I would have thanked him every single day, but I appreciate you for coming on. It was a pleasure having you. Definitely got to do it again someday. Thank you.
Definitely not a problem. Thank you very much for having me.
What a pleasure, Kane. Be sure to follow my Instagram account at World Soccer Report. That's at symbol World Soccer Report, all one word. And if you were listening in on the radio, be sure to check out my Spotify show archives by searching up on Spotify, The World Soccer Report, not all one word. Thank you for listening, and as always, thank you to Radio St. Pete Online for being my home base here on the show. This has been The World Soccer Report, and I'll see you at the game.